Are we ready? Oh, there we go. Hey, we're in. Oh, made our eyes water a little bit. It is good to be together, and it's good to just sit in the presence of God sometimes and allow Him to speak to us. Sometimes we need God to bypass our brain. Our brain doesn't always work properly, and I want to talk about that this morning, the way we think. And God sometimes has to kind of work around that to speak to our heart and our spirit, because that's where He wants to live. He doesn't want to live in our head, He wants to live in our heart. So we're going to talk about how you change your thinking, how you change your understanding about who you are and how you are with God, and about all the stuff that we read in Scripture, which is amazing. And if it's true, how do we get it into our lives? Just as we were worshipping, I was just singing, as Jed said, that, you know, somebody has got a song, and it wasn't me, thank goodness, you'll be blessed there. But I was thinking, your love amazes me. Your love, why does it amaze me? Because I'm still here. I'm still doing the things that God called me to do, even though I know my own weaknesses, I know my own failings. I know just sometimes how ill-equipped I am to do this, yet His love amazes me because He does equip me. He does keep on working in my life. And that's something to remember. So I'm talking to not only new believers this morning, but those have been on the way for a long time. His love is amazing because He's including all of us, and He wants to constantly be changing who we are. And we can settle for who we are. It's one of the challenges of life that some are settlers. They settle for who they are. But I think in God, there is a journey that we talk about, a journey of transformation, of working towards all that God has got for us so that He can use us and set us free from all the stuff that sometimes we face. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking about helping us in our unbelief. We believe it, but help my unbelief, because we read stuff in Scripture and we've been singing the powerful songs this morning, and you go, that's where I want to be, but how do I get there? And we need help from God Himself to get there, to get through who we are. Help my unbelief this morning. And so if you're struggling with some thoughts, if you're struggling with some of the faith aspect, just ask God to help you this morning. Just with your unbelief, your understanding of what is possible in God. Have you ever tried to change your thinking? It's quite a job, isn't it? It can be a difficult process, as it very often challenges our core values and behaviours. And our thinking is important. I know I said that God sometimes has to miss our thinking. But our thinking is important because it's where we make decisions about what happens and what we're going to do. And this is how our thinking goes. We may like one person, we may not like another person. We like one football team and not another football team. We can be different political supporters, and the list goes on and on and on about the things that we think are right, the things that we want to put our allegiance to, and those that we don't. And some of that is around God as well, because we can have wrong thoughts about God. We can have good thoughts about God, but we can also have wrong thoughts about God. And if you talk to people who don't come to church, you've got no interest in God, they will perceive God in a totally different way than we do, because they don't know anything about Him. And even as believers, we can get our thinking wrong about God. I'm sure that we all want to please God, we all want to do the best that we can, but we can get it wrong. And this is, I suppose, why there are so many expressions of the church today. If we all were in unity, if we all did the same thing, we all believed the same thing, we all had the same perception and understanding of who God was, we wouldn't have so many denominations. But through history, we have had this sort of misunderstanding with each other about who God is and what He's trying to say to us. And even through our lives, we have had some misunderstanding about who God is. And I'm sure you have, and that's the challenge this morning. Are you prepared to allow God to change your understanding of who he is and what he wants to do in your life? Because if you're not, then you'll never move on from this point in your relationship with him. Remember years ago when I was growing up, I wasn't allowed to play football on a Sunday. Can you believe that? I wasn't allowed to go fishing on a Sunday or watch TV on a Sunday or buy sweets on a Sunday or go to the cinema and many, many other things that we thought as church were honouring God and it would please him. Now it may do, but we turned it into a bit of a religion, a bit of a rule-keeping process that if we do this, it's going to please God. And we know that God is interested in our heart, not just our actions. And so we had a misunderstanding. In trying to glorify God, we impose rules on ourselves that I don't think God ever wanted us to live by. But we decided that was a good thing. And much of that has changed now. And those that have lived through it will know what those things are. Our journey with God is about our heart, because this really is where everything is. It's where everything comes together. So when it talks about our heart in the Bible, it's talking about our thinking, our emotions, and our will, our decision-making, are all in our heart. And it's where our behaviours and our values are worked out. It's where we connect with God. And just want to remind you this morning just how big God is. Sometimes we limit God in our own thinking because we think God is a little bit like us. But we've got to remember that he is the creator and he created us. He created us in his image. But it does not make us gods, and it doesn't make us be able to understand the wholeness of who God is. So Isaiah 55 says this, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we've got to acknowledge in our Christian life that God is higher than we are, he's bigger than we are, he thinks differently than we do, and his thoughts aren't our thoughts, and our thoughts aren't his thoughts. And some of what Denise was saying this morning about, you know, God being in situations that are really difficult, and we don't understand sometimes why those are upon us, but we've got to acknowledge as believers that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we ultimately don't always see what God is trying to achieve through the things that we face. And so we've got to accept that as believers, that his ways are higher than ours, different than we understand. And that helps us understand who God is, because we can trust him. Not my thoughts, your thoughts, God. So let's go with you, because you are God and I'm not. And so we've got to think differently about how we relate to God. The plans that he has for our lives can only be realized, only can be achieved if we follow his way and not our way. There's a verse in Romans 12 which I love. I find it a fascinating scripture. Romans 12 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We've got to stop looking at the values of the world and look at the values of God. Look at God, who God is. Look at how he thinks, what his values are, and then he begins to transform the way that we think. We talked last week in the discipleship course about the Bible and how important it is, because that has who God is. It is contained in that book for us. And as we read it, it just expands our understanding of God and it allows him to reveal new truths to our heart. But he's got to renew our mind. we come into faith as a man or a woman with our preconceptions about the whole of the world, about everything that we know. And God, when he works in us, begins to transform the way that we think. Not only about him and about other people, but about ourselves as well. It's important that we have God's view of who we are, not just of who everybody else is. So God begins to change the way that we think, and he gives tools to us to break through some of those difficult areas of life. I want to talk about a couple of people who had their minds changed, their hearts changed after an encounter with God. And sometimes we can't work things out with our own understanding. We need an encounter with God to bring revelation to our heart so that we see it on the inside. We get it on the inside, not just in our mind. So this is Acts 9. This is about a man called Saul. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on his name? And hasn't he come to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Messiah. So we have an encounter with God where somebody's whole thinking was changed from one thing to another thing. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. We can have a preconception about what we should be doing, and he wants to transform the way that we think. So Saul was a devout Pharisee. He knew all about the law. He knew all about who God was. He knew how to please God. And he was sorting to please God by the way he lived. And he was very enthusiastic and passionate about stopping this uprising that challenged the very thinking of the Jewish religious system. He even took part in the killing of Stephen. If you read in Acts 9, he was really angry about those who believed in Jesus. He thought they were destroying the values of the Jewish faith. And he wanted to track down everybody and put them in prison. He became a defender of the faith. Well, that's not really who God was. And it wasn't the message that Jesus was bringing. So on his journey between Jerusalem and Damascus, he had an encounter with God. And God spoke to his heart. We can see that God loved his passion. He loved the fact that he wanted to please God. He just wasn't really over keen on the way that he was doing that. And so he had to have an encounter with Saul. He needed that heart transformation to come into his life so that he began to see God in a totally different way. And so we can see that after his salvation, after he had this encounter, that he began to preach the word. And he preached exactly the opposite of what he believed before. He turned around 180 degrees from not wanting this Jesus and to kill anybody that believed in him, to persecute them and to separate them off from the Jewish nation, to somebody who loved God absolutely and gave his life for him. The story tells us that sometimes we've got really, really ingrained values and beliefs that God maybe wants to challenge. I don't know whether you've got any of those or this is speaking to your heart this morning, but we can think we are doing things to please God. We are doing the right things. But we need an encounter with him to get it right, because his ways very often are different than our ways. Got another story about Peter, the apostle, Acts chapter 10. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheep was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. Get up, go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." So this was a thought process that Peter was going through about who the gospel was for. Was it for the Jewish nation? And that's what Peter's thinking was. It's for the Jews. This Jesus was a Jew. He came to save us. Therefore, it is a gospel. It is good news for the Jews. And this was God really challenging him by saying, look, all these things that you considered unclean and impure, actually, I'm telling you that they're not. Now, go and minister not only to Jews, but to Gentiles as well. And this vision helped him think in a different way. It says the Spirit said to him, he had an encounter with God. Something happened to his thinking and his understanding that took him from one way of thinking about God to another way of thinking about him. He was transformed and changed, and he began ministry then to those who were no longer, or who were not Jews. So today, we may have personal thinking about the purposes of God for ourselves. We will have an understanding about who God is and what he wants us to do. We can make up our own theology if we're not careful and live by it. We need an encounter with God to change who we are. I said right at the start that sometimes we've got to change our own thinking about who we are. Some of us may feel that we can never be forgiven. This is not based on God's thinking. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God. And that we need, sometimes we need help to understand that we are forgiven, that we have been set free, that he wants to live in our lives and give us fullness of life. And this morning, as we gather together, I just want to remind you that some of your thinking may need an encounter with God. Our faith journey is a constant reshaping about who we think we are and who God is telling us we are, of his purposes for our lives and not just our own. Let's get into line with God's thinking, because he knows best. His ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. Our thinking and our values, our understanding must all be taken from Scripture. So I just want to run through some things that may just resonate with where you're at the moment. It tells us in the Bible that God is love. That's who he is. And that he loves me and he loves you. No matter what, he loves you. That he's forgiven you and accepts you as you are. He is a gracious God, not a judge, as we often put him as, but he's a gracious God. He wants to pour his love into your heart. He wants you to experience his love in a greater way. It tells in Scripture that with God all things are possible. Sometimes we need a little bit of help there with our unbelief, because we go, how can God possibly do that with me? And we need an encounter with God to see that when he is involved, when he is part of who we are, that the impossibilities of life become possible. And very often I believe that is personal, because you know what's going on inside your heart and you think, I've always been like this. Can I ever be different? And the Bible says this, that all things are possible. Everything is possible with God. We just need an encounter with him for us to see that in our hearts. We have been set free from sin. Once you are forgiven, you are set free. Sin seeks to bind us, weigh us down, place guilt in our lives. But the moment we allow Jesus into our hearts, we are set free from all of that. And maybe you need an encounter with God to experience the forgiveness of God in your heart. We have the Holy Spirit, our helper. Jesus said, I'm going to send somebody who will come when I go to heaven, when I go back to the Father. I'm going to send somebody who will come, and he will be your helper. And that is the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when we're not understanding things or we're not getting things, the Holy Spirit is what we need to work in our lives. He's the one who reveals truth to our heart. He's the one that opens our understanding to who God is and what he wants to do within us. He's the one that very often challenges us on our thinking. When our thinking isn't right, the Holy Spirit will challenge us. He will convict us of those things that are sin. But the Holy Spirit pours the love of God into our hearts as well. He's a patient and gracious and loving God. And he has given us everything that we need. As we were reminded this morning by Eddie, God wants us to live in this place where he gives us everything we need, where he sustains us day by day, spiritually, emotionally, physically. He wants to be the provider of everything we need. And he wants to give us everything we need to live a godly life. Sometimes we think we're not good enough to be a Christian. We're never going to be good enough. We're not going to be like everybody else. But Scripture says that he gives us what we need to be a Christian. He enables us, he empowers us to live a Christian life, because he knows that we can't do it on our own. For generations and generations, the Jewish nation had been trying to live by these rules and these laws and had failed miserably. Which is why Jesus came. He said, there's a better way. Put your faith in me and all these things will be fulfilled. You'll be able to live a Christian life because you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. He will give us what we need. So as I just draw to a close, if your thinking needs changing, seek an encounter with God. Ask him. Let him speak to your heart. If you're struggling with some of the things Scripture says about yourself, we need the Holy Spirit to help us. But God wants us to live a fulfilled, overflowing life, full of joy and peace. That's what he wants for us. And sometimes we struggle with that because we need an encounter with him. So as you're going through this week, ask God for an encounter. Ask him to help you when you can't see how it's going to happen. Ask him to help you in your unbelief. Allow him to bring faith into your heart so that you can fulfill all that God has got for you. Well, thank you for listening to me this morning. Be challenged this week.